Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, November the 1st, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Trump ups the ante and now says he could deploy as many as 15,000 U.S. troops to the border. Also on the Thursday rundown, the fight to raise the minimum wage intensifies as we approach Election Day, and water watchdogs redouble their efforts after a so-called trespass law was revoked. First, our top story. President Trump says the number of military troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border could go as high as 15,000. USA Today reports Trump said that the move would be aimed at preventing the entry of a caravan of migrants traveling from Central America. During a brief huddle with reporters this week, General Terence O'Shaughnessy, who's the commander of the U.S. Northern Command, was asked for a specific reason to deploy the troops. He responded, to secure the border. From what, he was asked, O'Shaughnessy didn't answer. USA Today adds President Trump has argued that the caravan of Central American migrants slowly marching toward the U.S. represents a national emergency and a threat to U.S. sovereignty. In just 5 days now, voters in Missouri will have the chance to give workers a raise by voting on Proposition B. We get the details from Suzanne Potter.
The ballot measure would take the minimum wage of $7.85 an hour up to $8.60 next year and then to $12 an hour by 2023. Tony Weich with the group Raise Up Missouri says a person working full-time at minimum wage only makes about $16,000 a year, not enough to live and raise a family anywhere in the Show Me State.
We are working to raise the minimum wage so that people like home health care workers and child care workers and teachers' aides have the ability to take care of their families while also providing a much needed boost of economic activity and investment into small businesses.
Both St. Louis and Kansas City have voted to raise the minimum wage there in recent years, but the state legislature and governor moved to block municipalities from setting their own minimum wage. Opponents of Proposition B say it would be a burden on employers and cost jobs.
Estimates are 25% of Missouri's workforce, about 677,000 people, make around $12 an hour, and so would likely see a wage increase if Proposition B passes and goes into effect. The EPA has been put on notice that it faces a lawsuit for delaying the finalization of a ban on a toxic chemical that's used in paint stripping products.
On Wednesday, Latino workers, environmental, and public health advocates filed the required 60-day notice that they will be filing a lawsuit. At least 4 people have died from exposure to the chemical since EPA proposed the ban in 2017. The agency announced back in May that it was finalizing the rulemaking for methylene chloride under the Toxic Substances Control Act. But according to Jonathan Kalmus Katz, an attorney with the environmental law firm Earth Justice, there's been no further action since then.
It's a chemical that EPA acknowledges has killed multiple people and will continue to result in cancer and death until it is taken off our shelves.
EPA said it is working diligently to implement amendments to the Toxic Substances Control Act, ensure the safety of existing chemicals, and get safe chemicals to market. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Those announcing their intent to sue the EPA include the mothers of 2 young men who recently died from exposure to the chemical. And although Wisconsin's prison capacity is limited to 17,000 inmates, the amount of incarcerated individuals in the state has reached a record 23,000 plus. Tramell Gomes reports it doesn't show any signs of decreasing.
The overpopulation of state prisons has led to advocacy groups calling for a change to the system to bring that figure down, as several other states have done in recent years. David Liners is state director at Wisdom, a group aimed at ending mass incarceration in Wisconsin. He says that laws changed in 2000 eliminating parole and left many behind bars.
You've got 3,000 people who are just stuck, many of whom have done absolutely everything they were expected of. They've been there much longer than the judge ever meant for them to be. There's easily 1,000 people that could be released tomorrow.
Liner says that putting people in drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers instead of in prison would greatly reduce the amount of people sent back to prison for nonviolent crimes.
Democratic gubernatorial challenger Tony Evers has been trying to make prisons an issue. GOP incumbent Scott Walker has raised public safety concerns. Finally, Eric Gelattis tells us environmental watchdog groups are eager to get back in the field, that after a Wyoming federal district court struck down so-called data trespass laws this week.
Eric Molvar with the Western Watersheds Project says by threatening citizens with jail time for collecting environmental data on public lands, if private lands had been crossed to reach those sites, even accidentally, the laws made it a lot harder to hold polluters accountable.
So basically, the law clamps down on the free speech rights of environmental watchdog groups and indeed any member of the public that wants to warn a federal agency that a problem is happening on public lands that that agency manages.
Legislators passed laws in 2015 and 2016 arguing that measures were necessary to protect the rights of property owners. But the judge wrote in his ruling that there is simply no plausible reason for the specific curtailment of speech in the statutes beyond a clear attempt to punish individuals for engaging in protected speech that at least some find unpleasant.
By the way, the court's ruling strikes down the state laws and permanently blocks them from being applied. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.